The first coach on the teleconference is Ohio State's Urban Meyer. Coach Meyer guided the Buckeyes to the outright East Division title as they make their third appearance in the Big Ten football championship game. Ohio State finished the season 8-1 in conference play and 10-2 overall, earning its sixth consecutive division title. A victory on Saturday would give the Buckeyes their 36th Big Ten championship and first since 2014. Coach, thanks for joining us this afternoon. If you could give us some quick opening comments, then we'll open the call for media questions.
Well, thank you, and it's an honor to rep arguably one of the toughest divisions and obviously a great conference, the Big Ten Conference. So we're very pleased with the resiliency of our players and our staff, and look forward to playing against a great Wisconsin team. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach. Now let's take some questions from the media.
If you have a question, please hit star 1 on your touchtone phone. Your first question comes from the line of Tim May from the Columbus Dispatch. Please ask your question.
Thank you very much. Hey, Urban, could you give us an update? I don't know if there's much of an update yet on the status of JT Barrett.
We won't know for a couple days, but everything seems to be improving, so we'll know more. Obviously, it's real early.
Yeah. Hey, and the other thing, I'm sure you've seen the video by now, maybe you haven't, but what just stands out to you most about the way Dwayne Haskins Jr. played, now that you've maybe seen it, you know, from another perspective, just about his poise and everything else carried into that really tough situation?
Yeah, he started a little slow. We had a penalty, procedure penalty, and then things didn't start off perfectly, but then he hit that third down pass, and then his poise and accuracy was outstanding.
Your next question comes from the line of Bill Rabinowitz from Columbus Dispatch.
Yes, Urban. There are multiple reports that Greg Schiano is on the road to being hired by Tennessee. Can you address that situation and whether he would be available for the Big Ten championship game and the bowl game after that?
I know he was contacted, and that's all I know at this point, and we'll let you know when we know something.
Okay. And again, another follow-up on Dwayne Haskins. How much of a boost is that for you to know that if he's needed on Saturday or any other time, that yes, he's done this now?
Well, it's a typical transition of a backup quarterback. You know, that's everybody wants him to play now. It takes a long time to learn how to play at this level, and very, you know, much more confident than a year ago, and he's worked his tail off. And his performance was just one of maturity and growing up, and very pleased with him.
Thank you, Robert.
Your next question comes from the line of Dan Murphy from ESPN.com.
Hi, Urban. Yesterday after the game, you mentioned that you wanted to look into exactly what happened on the sideline with JT there. Were you able to do that, or do you think you'll have an opportunity to do that any further?
Well, I'm not. Our administration is, and my director of ops. I don't have time to do that, but there's people looking into what happened, and obviously that one's happened just to make sure that those kind of things. It's the first time I've ever heard anything like that. So I just, you know, the most important people on that field are the players, and they have to have their space. So they're all looking at that.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Austin Ward from the line of Ben.
Urban, one of the things that you said about that after the game was that you kind of blamed yourself, and maybe that's not exactly what you said, but is that something you can control, the people that are around the bench or in that area, or what's kind of your understanding or why you took some blame for that?
Well, everything is my blame with this program, and that's something that people who know me and know this program know that I'll stop practice if I see, you know, anything that can harm a player. You know, this is a tough enough sport to begin with. So I was not aware of all the chaos on our bench and sideline before the game. So, yeah, it's ultimately my responsibility, but I was unaware.
You talked about the administration handling this. Do you want this to go up to the league or to networks? What do you want to happen here at this point?
I don't know. We're playing Wisconsin, and I'm sure that there's some very good people in our commissioner's office and, Gene. And I don't have any idea what happened other than what I was told. So I'm sure they'll handle it, and they'll report back what's the best thing to move forward.
Thanks.
Your next question is from Bill Bender from the Sporting News.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach. JK made some big runs yesterday, obviously, and throughout the year. So what's impressed you most about his growth as a freshman running back?
Oh, he's awesome. He's one of those guys that supplies energy every day, shows up ready to go to work, and he's a grown man. It's very rare to have a guy that young to come in and just provide that for you. And Mike Weber is in the same category. Mike wasn't that way as a freshman. He certainly is now. So those two kids, those two young men were, they're instrumental in our offense. And they played hard yesterday. That was a tough, I think we ran for 250 against one of the best defenses that I can remember.
And with a guy, and you've obviously been through this with several running backs, but with a guy with J.K.'s talent, what's the most important thing in that first full offseason after being through with the program 1 year?
Just the continued development as a player. I don't want to get technical on him, but there's certain things he can very much improve on, and then just physical strength. Obviously he's not a very big guy, so pass protection and running through tackles, those are things that he can improve on.
Thanks, Coach.
Your next question is from Teddy Greenstein from Chicago Tribune.
Durbin, two questions. Will it ultimately be JT who determines if he can play Saturday?
That's probably my choice, but, he'll be right in the middle of that conversation me and him will have, and Ryan Day. So ultimately, I guess, yes, we'll know about what percentage of full speed he'll be at.
Okay. And on to a question about Haskins. How did that all shake out? Obviously, he was committed to another school at first, and then he was open-minded about coming to your place. What do you recall from that recruitment?
We recruited him all along, and he committed to Maryland, his hometown. He was very close with Mike Locksley there, and we took a commitment from a young man in Texas who ended up not playing quarterback, and we went back after him because we had a great relationship with him and his family, and Maryland went through a coaching transition, and he always had a love for Ohio State. That's how that happened.
All right. Thanks.
Your next question is from Andy Evans from Columbus Wired.
After yesterday's win and being in such thrilling fashion, coaching a comeback there, the largest comeback ever in the history of the rivalry, how do you get these guys up for just one more game? And is there any different approach that you take, being that it's against such a great Wisconsin team, especially for the Big Ten championship?
No, we pretty much have a standard way of doing our business. Today's a Sunday work day, and then they're off tomorrow, and then we go back to work on Tuesday. Like you said, it's a great Wisconsin team, a team that we've seen carry over film a little bit, and there's nothing – obviously it's for the Big Ten Championship, so there's going to be a little special to it. But as far as the work week, we don't change the work week.
Thanks, Coach.
Your next question is from Douglas Mirazes from Cleveland.com. Please ask your question.
Urban, when we talked with JT after the game yesterday, he indicated that the knee is something he's sort of been dealing with all year. What's your understanding of what he's gone through with that knee, and maybe anything you guys have done this season to help manage that?
Yeah, I heard a little bit about it, obviously not to the extent that what happened Saturday, but he was getting treatment on it, and he had to deal with issues before, but nothing quite the extent that happened Saturday.
So there wasn't anything during the year where you, I don't know, limited his running or did anything to try to help the knee? He could deal with it. He could play. He was good to go in your mind.
Yes.
Okay.
Your next question is from Rob Aller from Columbus Dispatch.
Two questions. One, what is it about the makeup of Dwayne Haskins Jr. that that makes him effective? Talking to him after the game, he says he's kind of a low-key guy. Maybe in that situation, that's what you want, doesn't get flustered?
Yeah, we're trying to change the low-key part. So he is, I love Dwayne, and Dwayne comes from great people, great family. He's very, what's the word I'm looking for? He is very complimentary of his teammates. And so I just think, you know, in that position that we want energy, and he's shown great sign. You know, I think the best thing that happened to Dwayne was the week before in that rain. He fumbled the ball, was not playing well, and came back and showed the juice, showed the energy, and made a great pass to Ben Victor and went down and celebrated with him in the end zone. So, you know, that's all a part of, you know, a philosophical approach about what we expect out of our quarterback. And he doesn't have to be a rah-rah guy, but there has to be energy there. And he's learning that, and he's doing much better.
Second question is, without getting into specifics, and I know you typically don't like talking about this, but big picture, do you think tradition and body of work, even going back, I don't know, a year or two, should that be considered when it comes to this whole playoff thing?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Your next question is from Clay Hall from ABC6 Fox Columbus.
Congratulations again. From what you've seen of Wisconsin, is this kind of bread and butter for what they do under Alvarez, under previous coaches? Is it the same Badger football team?
It's amazing. It's very observant, and it is true. And I think Coach Alvarez gets a lot of credit, but also he's just hired great fits, and it's very similar. Defensive structure is very similar. It's an odd package, along with four down and big, strong, and guys that play their tails off. And then on offense, is just these giant human beings up front with a good run game and a very productive quarterback. So I think they got their niche, and they're as good as anybody in the country recruiting to that and developing people.
You've talked a little bit about the early signing date, and the silly season seems to have begun, well, maybe a few days ago, but today people on the move, supposedly Mullen, Schiano, all these jobs are opening, et cetera. And it's just intensified, you believe, because of this December 20th date?
Yes, no question about it. People are, I don't want to say panicking, because it's rightfully so. It's upon us fast.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Your next question is from Nick Pietrowicz from The Blade.
Hi, Urban. Denzel has obviously been great as your number one cornerback, but in your two biggest games now, he's gotten a kick. How important has he been on those special teams?
Denzel Ward?
Yes.
Oh, he's critical. You know, even when he doesn't get it, he's putting a lot of pressure on people, and he's got that electric speed. He just missed one Saturday, but he's a very valuable member of our team and certainly special teams.
Thank you.
Your next question is from Bill Rabinowitz from Columbus Dispatch.
Yes, Urban, another topic you're probably not going to want to address, but already it started in terms of like Nick Saban after the game kind of lobbying for Alabama's case in the Big Ten or in the college football playoff. Will you stick to your philosophy of just strictly the here and now when all this conversation goes on this week?
Certainly I'll talk to our team about it because the term around here is laser focus, and the laser focus is on Wisconsin and nothing else. And so, you know, I'll actually visit with our players before they meet with media. I don't want to hear about it on social media. Focus on your responsibility. When they do, we're a heck of a team. When they don't, we're like everybody.
Okay. And one follow-up on Denzel Ward. You know, he seems to be playing at a level that your top cornerbacks have played at the last several years. Could you describe just what he does so well?
He's so fast. He's God's gifted him with incredible skill set, and he's a great young man that takes it real serious. And Coach Combs is, his relationship as with the other corners we've had is outstanding.
Thanks, sir.
If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Your next question is from John Bryce from GridironNow.com.
Hey, Coach. Appreciate your time. I know you want to keep the focus on the championship game this week, but if you could just describe Greg Schiano's coaching style and what you've seen out of him since he's been on your staff and what you know about Greg.
Well, Greg's been a close friend for 20-plus years, and he's an elite person, elite father, elite husband, and that carries over into the way he handles his players. So excellent coach, excellent person.
Thank you.
Your next question is from Douglas Merizes from Cleveland.com. Please ask your question.
Urban, both you guys and Wisconsin have freshman running backs that you rely on. When you are deciding to play a freshman running back, what do you need to see from him to have the trust in him, not just being a dynamic athlete, but that he can handle the duties of running back? What did you see in JK that you knew he could handle this?
Well, the maturity, and I, as you were talking there, Doug, I was trying to think back if I've ever had that. You know, Zeke played a little bit as a freshman year, but it certainly wasn't a 1,000-yard rusher. Florida and Utah, I don't believe we ever had a freshman come in and play like this because it's – and Mike Weber didn't do that. He ran for 1,000 as a redshirt freshman year. So, like most positions, it's very rare to have, a Raekwon McMillan, and that's how I compare J.K. Raekwon McMillan came in ready-made. He was mature. He was grown up. He handles everything like a professional, and that's the way J.K. is.
And obviously you mentioned how Wisconsin sort of has a way of doing business that has gone across different coaches. But when you see Paul Christ and what he's been able to do and to succeed at the level he's succeeded at, just what do you think of what he's done? And you guys saw it firsthand last year against Wisconsin, what Paul Christ has done there since he took over.
I think he's fantastic. I actually get along with him very well. And I just think he's, him and his staff have done a brilliant job. I think they do a great job evaluating and developing players, too.
Thanks, sir.
Your next question is from Dan Murphy from ESPN.com.
Irving, given that JT's status is up in the air a little bit this week, does this feel at all like 3 years ago when you guys had to beat Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game and Cardale was coming in? And can you take any, roadmap or things away from having done that before that helped this week?
Oh, I think so, but that seems like you said 3 years ago. It feels like 25 years ago. So this is a different year, a different team, different people involved. Certainly that was one of those moments that you'll never forget. But I think it's unfair to our players current to say this is what we expect out of you. This is a whole new group like happens every year, and so our focus is on just making sure he's ready to go if he's the quarterback.
Your next question is from Ari Wasserman from The Athletic.
Urban, Dwayne said yesterday after the game that he's basically known all year that he's the backup quarterback and that he was prepared to go in if something were to happen to JT. Beginning of the year, even in Chicago, we talked about trying to manage the minds of all the quarterbacks on the team because only can one play. How's Joe handling this? Have you had to have talks with him about, staying with it? And, obviously Joe's a big part of your program as well.
Yeah, I love Joe. And, he had that broken hand right in the middle of competition for the spot. And it's just hard to, during training camp you can compete for it. During the season it's impossible to compete for the spot. You have to stay on call and stay ready. And one of the legendary guys around here is Kenny Guyton. That, when your number's called, you got to go. The other one is Cardale Jones. He was third string And then next thing he woke up, he's holding a gold trophy. So, yeah, Joe's very important.
Joe, obviously there's more to play for. I don't know how much you can take into Dwayne being the backup right now and what that means for next year, but do you have to have a discussion with Joe saying, hey, come into the spring, compete, you still have a chance to maybe be the starting quarterback on this team? Do those discussions occur in the middle of the season, or how do you handle that?
Well, Joe, the one thing about Joe Burrow, he comes from a coaching family, and it's tough. I mean, everybody has high expectations for your career, and whether it be injuries, whether it be another quarterback deciding to come back for his fifth year, those are all the ups and downs, and you got to stay focused and keep moving. And my credit to Joe, or the credit to Joe Burrow, is that he has, and he's on call, ready to go.
One other thing, Urban, when it comes to Austin Mack, he was somebody who came in and impressed you guys right away. Hasn't had a huge year for you statistically, but he might have made one of the biggest catches of the season. What have you seen out of his development, and to make a play like that, is he coming along the way you guys hoped he would?
Oh, he sure is. You know, he's had a couple. He had a foot injury, an ankle injury. He got a little bit dinged Saturday, so he's fought through injuries. But he's an awesome kid that has got a great future here.
Thanks, Urban.
Your next question is from Tim May from the Columbus Dispatch.
Well, up on the Austin Mack question, but more general. I mean, your wide receiver core this time a year ago, it was kind of Curtis Samuel and all the AYOs. But the way that group has stepped up, especially even yesterday with KJ Hill, Paris Campbell, and Austin Mack. What kind of confidence does that give you going into the postseason, which of course starts Saturday?
Much more confidence than a year ago, and they've earned it. They're hardworking. It's one of the better groups, unselfish groups. I mean, Johnny Dixon didn't have a ball yesterday, but he just played as hard as he could, and Terry McLaurin's one of our best players, and I just love him, and I appreciate him.
Another thing, you know, if the reports turn out to be true about Greg Schiano going to Tennessee, what are sort of you – I mean, obviously you want to see him, I would think, fill out his situation here, but what would be – I don't know, what would be the message to him and I guess to the team about that laser focus thing you're talking about?
Just beat Wisconsin.
Again, if you have a question, please hit the star 1 on your touchtone phone. Again, the star 1 on your touchtone phone. Your next question is from Teddy Greenstein from Chicago Tribune. Please ask your question.
Urban, are you satisfied with your team's ability to cause turnovers?
I don't have the stat in front of me, but we're not as dynamic in that area as we were a year ago.
Yeah.
And that was last year is one of those. I think we had some guys that just had incredible knack. I think they're getting better. Jordan Fuller's getting a little better. So we're not satisfied with where we're at, and it's not because of effort. But we're not satisfied exactly with where we're at.
I got it right here. You've caused 18, which is middle of the road in the Big Ten. And I asked because Wisconsin, as well coached as they are, commits a lot of turnovers. When you face teams that commit a lot of turnovers, do you think you emphasize that even more during the week?
Not really, Teddy. It's just same thing on offense. It's not like a particular week we're going to really work on taking care of the ball. That's kind of, part of our culture. That's the way we practice. Now, there's a lot of new people in the back end of our defense that are starting to get more comfortable with their position. So, I don't over micromanage our defense on that, but to say that we're going to emphasize turnovers this week would be, somewhat silly because we emphasize it every week.
Got it. Thanks.
Yep.
We have time for one final question from the media.
Your next question is from Ari Wasserman from The Athletic.
You just said that you might have or you're going to have a discussion with your team about playoff talk. But in a world where Nick Saban is starting to lobby because his regular season's over and, you have a lot going on yourself, how much do you have to prepare yourself and do research and understand the scenarios and all the things that people are talking about before having that discussion with your team? And do you have a take on your team's positioning right now in the national landscape of maybe getting into that top four?
No, there'll be zero amount of effort and energy towards that. Same when I said we'll have a chat with our team, because I know everybody's talking about it. The chat will be this: don't worry about it. Worry about the laser focus on your opponent. And once these guys are good, this is a very mature team. This is a team that understands when they are laser focused, they're very good. And when they're not, like most teams in America, if you're not focused, you don't play well.
Thank you.
Coach, thanks again for joining us. We look forward to seeing you in Indianapolis.
Thank you.